On this episode of the Mountain Bikes Park podcast, I'm talking to Graeme McLean from BBM&S about what they are doing to help develop mountain bike around Scotland for both riders and businesses. Let's get started. Hey folks, and welcome to another episode of the Mountain Bikes Park podcast. As I mentioned, we've got Graeme McLean on from DMB&S. I'll let him tell you all about what they actually do for both riders and businesses in mountain biking around Scotland. So we won't get into too much of that. We'll get into exactly what developing mountain biking Scotland do for us as riders. Or even if you've got a cool mountain biking product idea, then this could be the guy to speak to. So certainly listen on to the rest of the interview for that. First thing I just want to say quickly, as always, it'd be lovely to get some feedback from you. I've had some good questions, some good feedback in the last couple of weeks, but great to get more. If you have a chance, please pop onto iTunes and give us a review on there. It really does help us get the podcast out to more people. And do send me an email or pop me a comment on the podcast post as well. So pop on to mountainbikespark.com, find this episode, which will be mountainbikespark.com/13, and that'll take you to the page for this episode where you can pop a comment in there or email me at colin@mountainbikespark.com. So let's not hold it back any further. A quick comment. At some point in this interview, Graham's going through a few companies that they're working with, and we think at one point that he's missed one out. It said only 6 of the 7. That was actually just me miscounting. I had only written down 6 of the ones he mentioned. So the 7th is there if you listen for it. So just to make sure nobody thinks that his memory's that bad. It was my fault. Okay, but here's the interview. Have fun. Okay, so welcome to the show, Graham.
It's Colin.
I just thought it'd be great to get you on the Mountain Bikes Park podcast to just have a chat about what DMB&S does. Oh no, sorry, I've said it wrong. DMB&S. We had a little conversation before the recording there about how you pronounce that. Apparently, there's a few different ways to go about it, but the official one is DMB&S, Developing Mountain Biking in Scotland. And Graham, just to, I suppose, the first thing I wanted to just have a chat about. On your site, it looks like there's two main sides to what you do. You aim stuff out at the riders and you aim stuff at business, don't you? So maybe you'd have a chat about both of them, but maybe start off with the riders. So can you just sort of talk about what it is you do to support riders in Scotland?
Yeah, I mean, the riders part of our website is something we're actually working and developing on at the moment. We're working developing it. The most visited part of our website is where to ride. People just want to know where to go, find the best trails, and go look at that. So that's actually one of the pieces of work we're actually working on at the moment, is looking at a really kind of exciting, kind of innovative way of doing it, which I worked in partnership with Glasgow Caledonian University on, and looked at how we could make viewing mountain biking more interactive and really good fun. So we've actually come up with a really, really exciting one we're working on at the moment. I've got a graduate who have managed to recruit onto the project, who's working on that part of the website at the moment. What we do for riders, I guess what the project does for riders as well is probably more on that developing side. We're kind of, what we aim to do and what we'd like to do is we work with people who are really interested in seeing mountain biking develop across Scotland. What that ends up coming out at the other end of that for riders, though, is more trails, more events happen in Scotland, more clubs, better organisation, we end up with more communities involved, we end up with businesses growing, and trying to get all of that working together so that anything that's going in from the public purse or any business that's doing it finds it easier to do it, finds it easier to create success in mountain biking, and then the riders at the other side of it can get those experiences, they get those new trails, they get things that are happening in Dundee, things happening Aileth, Comrie Croft, the route maps, all of these things come out of the work that we do to develop things as well. So that's kind of what I say, that's what we do for riders, is we're doing the background stuff. We're helping people with the paperwork. We're helping them show examples. We're showing people, getting people to get in touch with other people who have done things, you know, being that coordinated central source. I should say as well, it's just myself and half an administrator who are the main staff that work on it. What we do though is we do work with a lot of agencies, a lot of different people, a lot of community groups, a lot of local authorities, and really don't do too much ourselves, which sounds kind of silly when know, it's, a lot of people say, well, what do you do? And I say, well, I try and join things up for that. I make it a lot easier for all those people who want to do things, who want to see the sport of mountain biking progress as an activity. I make it easier for them to do it. And that's well received when people get in touch with us and they want to know more about how they would go about their local area having trails, what kind of trails they might be able to get funding for in the local area. That's that advice that I can provide and can show them the steps that they have to, that I would recommend that they work through to get those trails to happen, or events to happen, or their club to set up, how they can just get more people out riding their bikes, or bring more tourists in as well, or set up a business, all of those angles.
Yeah, I mean, there must be a big need for that kind of thing, because there's obviously, it's a growing sport, it's a growing area around the country, but it's still pretty niche, really, by all accounts, isn't it, compared to other sports? So it must be when people are wanting to start up a mountain biking business or service, or even just, you know, a local group wants to build a trail, is there much other information out there to do that?
I mean, not really. That's why the project was set up.
Yeah.
The project was set up because there wasn't that information available. There wasn't that central coordinating source. There wasn't somebody to go to say, how do I do this?
Mm.
Really wasn't happening. Well, actually, what was happening, though, is that it was the Forestry Commission who were picking that up, because they were the main person who were developing the sport in the early 2000s, right through till about 2007 time. And they just got the feeling that they weren't the Mountain Bike Commission. They weren't an organisation who were set up to deal with mountain bike requests, to build trails, to look at things. Their primary role is to manage the forests, and part of that remit is to provide recreational opportunities, of which mountain biking is an important part of it. But they didn't feel it was their remit to continue to develop the sport. That's why they brought in other agencies and the other cycling organisations. So CTC, Scottish Cycling, Cycling Scotland, IMBA were initially involved. And the enterprise agencies, Scottish Enterprise, Highlands Islands Enterprise, our tourism agencies, Visit Scotland, Event Scotland, got a lot of partners here, I could probably keep going. I brought them around the table and said, you know, we're not the Mountain Bike Commission, how can we all be working better together so that mountain bikers can get a better service and we can do more with this activity and it can really outreach more? And they felt they were stretching point, they wanted to stop the developments, that they stopped coming continual pressure for them to keep developing things on their land.
Yeah.
And try and spread the load and make and really make mountain biking the success that it can be within Scotland.
Yeah. So how did you get into that then? What's your background?
Yeah, personally, I kind of grew up on bikes, just like I think most of us did. as in, didn't really even think about it as mountain biking in a lot of ways. It was just going out with friends out on after school and getting out on bikes and doing things. I'm getting tennis quite seriously when I was growing up, and then I became a snowboard instructor and really kind of get into the outdoors and was really enjoying that. I then moved to Dundee to become an active schools coordinator and really kind of inspire children and get young people out and get them to become more active. And when I was there, I was there by myself. I didn't know a lot of people, and mountain biking was just actually a great way of, I rediscovered it actually at Glen Tress when Glen Tress got first redeveloped. I kind of rediscovered my love for my bike as well. So I had about 5 years riding. I got really into it when I moved over to Dundee. I became a trail cycle leader, which meant I could take groups out, and then really enjoyed that experience out on bikes and kind of inspiring them and seeing how quickly they got better and how much they enjoyed being in the outdoors and part of a bike. And then the opportunity came up to kind of nationally coordinate and develop things through the project and through the strategy which the project is delivering. I kind of felt that it was a pretty big challenge. There was a lot of elements like so tourism, which I hadn't worked in particularly before, business development I hadn't worked in before, but I was quite up for learning about those things and I felt it was an interesting project, and mountain biking as a new sport, and one that where there's lots of people have bikes, and it's a kind of niche sport, but it's still, I think it's in the top three things, you know, cycling as an activity is in the sort of top three things that people do to be recreational. I think it's the second most used done thing in the outdoors,
okay.
Walking. So it's niche, but it's kind of mass as well. It's got that mix to it. So it was quite an interesting challenge to see if we can actually take that on and get it into communities and do things and really see the sport reach its potential.
Yeah. Oh, well, as a mountain biker, well, for 15 years myself, it sounds like a pretty dream job. If I saw that advertised, I'd be tempted to apply.
Yeah. There's dream elements to it. It takes there's no doubts about that.
Yeah.
I do get around and see things and nice things, and the bike does sit in the back of the van, if we're in a nice place, we can get out and ride it.
Yes.
But a lot of my job though is about, you know, it is about working with people. There's a lot of dealing with people and doing things. There's a lot of paperwork that goes behind everything, both through the reporting of what we're doing through to making sure that, you know, communicating what the right strategy is through to putting things on the website and there's a lot of paperwork behind everything we're doing.
Yeah. So it'd be great to, well, I'd love to talk about the business stuff. So the stuff you're doing with businesses, the stuff you're doing with local groups to develop new trails, that type of stuff. Cause it was great. I think people around Scotland or even in the UK in general, would love to hear that type of stuff, what's coming up, how that kind of, those kind of enterprises are developing. But just quickly, I just wanted to go through the stuff on your plans for the actual website itself. So a lot of the people that listen to this podcast are beginner bikers. So it's quite a big audience on the site itself. I do quite a lot of guides around how to get into biking, that type of stuff, how to choose a bike. You've got quite a few really good guides on your own site for that kind of thing as well. Is that something you say that your biggest audience is for the trail guides? Do you get many people using the guides to the kit, the guides to the types of bikes, that kind of thing? Do you get a lot of questions along those lines?
Yeah, quite a few. Yeah, we do. I think our equipment guide that we have on the website is fairly basic. It's a kind of basic introduction to people. Basic advice probably to those people who are wanting to start though is really, you know, probably go and hire a bike to start with.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the ones that we have, you know, types of bike on our website is go and hire a bike. So if you are looking to start it, one of the things I think that frustrates people about mountain biking as well is that they don't know if they're going to like it or not, and they don't know if they want to invest. They see the bike as being very expensive. Even if I take myself back 10, 15 years or so, I remember. But I thought that I was a snowboard instructor, and whilst I grew up on bikes, I was a snowboard instructor for 5 years there, and then came back to Scotland, heard about mountain biking, but just thought the bikes were, you know, very expensive. It was a lot of money to commit to get into a sport or an activity. That was the advice that one of my friends gave us was, you know, can you just go and hire a bike, go to Glentress, go and hire a bike for a day, go down, they'll kit you out with the right stuff. Go and see what you think of the trails. Just go and have a ride around. And that was me hooked. You know, I went home that night and thought, right, let's do this. Went on a local bike shop and went in and managed to get some sort of finance deal happening. And that was me. That was me back into riding bikes. And I think mountain biking has that. If you get that first experience right, the trail centres are great for it as well because of that grading element to it as well. The kind of, you know, be knowing that you're going on an easy trail, it's green, let mark, yeah, progress up, and you get a blue experience as well. I think that really does help bring people into the sport and bring people into the activity.
Yeah.
And once you get through that as well, what is interesting as well, I think, testament to people I've got into as well, and I'm going to take kids and groups out and on natural things as well, is you kind of sometimes actually forget about those initial experiences when you get into mountain biking. You forget that actually going up hills is quite hard because your fitness builds quite quickly, I find.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of end up punishing people by just, yeah, it's quite an easy run, and you end up doing a 20, 30K ride and through some natural routes, and people just go, that was actually quite a horrible experience. I think you got to watch that and just kind of get into it at your own pace and take your own time about it. But experiment with equipment a little bit. And it's a great activity in that it's free at the point of delivery. Your only thing you really need to get is your bike and your equipment, your helmets and your clothing, etc. So once you build that up, you are kind of free to a large extent to go and explore it. So you just try it first, make sure you want to explore it. And then once you put that initial outlay out, or your monthlies or your bike to work schemes as well, then you can really kind of get into it.
Yeah, definitely. It's great that you say that. It's exactly the type of stuff I write about as well, that too many people just jump in at the high end, or they buy themselves a £1,000, £2,000 bike at the start. It's more money than sense, and they realise that they don't, well, either they don't like it, or it doesn't make that much of a difference. I mean, you can start off on a, there's some great like £200-£300 hardtails out there that just do you absolutely fine. You can get into it, find out you like it, and then start upgrading or buy a new bike from there.
And I think it's the sort of thing when you get into it as well, you end up being quite niche without realizing you're being quite niche as well, because you kind of get into it and you can see bikes progressing and you want to get the next bike and you want to see something. You can get the feeler that it does make a difference, but you actually, you kind of look, if you look at what they're selling in bike shops at £300 now, compared to what, you know, my bike, you know, first bike I bought was £800 now, that's probably, the parts and the frames and things are almost the equivalent of £300 bikes now. So it's kind of, the technology drops down as it advances and the price drops down of that. So, you know, there's no, you know, we kind of forget that what was brilliant 10 years ago on your bike costing you £800 is now a £300 bike, and it's still a brilliant experience. You know, that experience hasn't changed that much.
So. Absolutely. The people that I always enjoy watching are the ones that are spending an extra £100 to get like the XTR components, so the professional stuff that weighs about, you know, saves yourself 100 grams, and then they go cycling up a hill with a 1 kilogram beer belly hanging off them. Just think, go and do a little bit more exercise, and then you'll save yourself that £100 upgrade.
There is that, and as well, I think there's the shred that, and then nobody looks at kind of coaching and experiences and getting better on their bike, so they'll quite happily spend money on actually getting better, whereas on equipment that they think will make them better, whereas to actually take a lesson with one of, you know, with really good coaches and skills instructors in Scotland, you do that and you spend £100 on that and you find your riding gets much better.
Yeah, yeah, no matter what kit you're riding. So this something you said earlier on piqued my interest a wee bit. You were talking about the trail guides and working with Glasgow Cali, was it? So what is it, what are your it sounded like you had some innovative ways of showing them, or is there some, what's coming up there?
We've got kind of we're working away. We brought in a graduate, and she's going around the country, kind of look at, she's sort of mapping the trail centres at the moment, going through them, and with a bit of a head cam on, and getting some really nice GPX. So we will have a way of looking at trails in sort of 3D. You can kind of go in, and then you'll be able to actually see what the trail's like in real time. Again, we really hope that it will kind of bring people into it. I do have a bit of a theory that a lot of people in mountain biking, or a lot of people view mountain biking as something that kind of strange, hairy creatures do in deep, dark forests. and it's kind of what we do is good fun, but it's kind of hidden a lot of the time, which is kind of a lot of the appeal, actually, for a lot of people who do it. Mm-hmm. However, I think actually opening that up and people seeing what trails are like and can actually see that real-time experience, something the GoPros have been providing for a while, but it's just taking that and packaging that and trying to bring it all together in Scotland. So that's what we're working on at the moment. It's with a lot of projects as well. It has grown a little bit. And the more we find you need to kind of get that information and get that quality that we want to have from it, it's taken a bit of time, but we're really quite excited about it.
I think that'll be a great resource. But it'll actually just look at a trail, pick a point on that trail, and just see what it looks like at that point.
Yeah, that's the concept that we're working towards. We've also got a guide to the Highlands coming out in the next month or so, where that's kind of that project I was talking about just before has kind of evolved out of that in some ways, we had actually Lee Craigie, who just competed in the Commonwealth Games. She volunteered for us, and she went around the Highlands, and we chose some really good sustainable kind of natural routes for her to go and ride and experience and things. What was interesting as well, they're all existing promoted routes that she was riding on. However, some of them didn't go anywhere. The trail disappeared. It was actually quite an interesting kind of research project in some ways, in that, you know, a lot of things that we're promoting in mountain biking in Scotland aren't actually the best trails we have. So some of the routes have disappeared out of that and came back in. And we've tried to do these things because, you know, really keen that we do make mountain biking sustainable. We don't just tear across the country and we don't cause unnecessary damage to trails, and looking to use trails that are sustainable. So we actually spoke to all the landowners and things and that, with and the routes within the national park. We had a natural habitat assessment to make sure we weren't damaging any their species by promoting as well. So it's quite a thorough piece of work that we've gone into developing it, and that'll be linked into the local tourism associations as well, so that people can go through, they can look at a variety, all the trail centres in the Highlands and a variety of natural routes, and then kind of easily be able to get links in to book their accommodation and see what events are on and see what other things there are to do in areas. So we're really excited about that as well. It's really coming together at the moment.
No, that sounds brilliant. I mean, it's always, that is the trouble, isn't it? I sort of grew up in mountain biking in Edinburgh, so I was lucky enough to have Innerleith and Glen Tress that close by, and that's basically all we went to because obviously they're some of the best trails in the country. But now I've moved a bit further north, and I found since moving up here, it's surprisingly difficult to find out about the local trails. Like, I've basically resorted to wondering about bike shops and trying to find people on forums and getting on Strava and basically trying to find where the cluster of segments and stuff on Strava are. It's just ridiculously hard to find these trails that actually are reasonably well made. Like the biggest example there is Canoel Hill in Perth. So there's a trail just off Canoel Hill. You probably know it well, I'm sure. But for anyone else, it's mostly just a crisscross of walking trails that are really good for mountain biking, but it actually does have a proper bike park built into it as well. And I hadn't found that mentioned anywhere. And I just went to Canoel Hill for a wee explore and found this proper custom-made mountain biking section. And I hadn't found that promoted. So yeah, if you guys are putting together a series of guides to that kind of stuff, I think that'll help a lot.
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, there is that. I think they will help. I mean, one of my great likes about mountain biking as well, I have to say, is actually the kind of opposite of that as well, is actually just going out and just going out and discovering what's in my local area and where my local trails are. And I mean, I'm quite minded on what is a responsible mountain biker. We've got a guidance on our website, the Do the Ride Thing guide, which has got a short kind of fun kind of computer game at it, which gets people thinking. It's a pretty basic guide to things. And there's a sort of really full guide to that as well. And, you know, one of my things is I actually just like exploring on my bike. I actually like going and going, what is up that hill or what's in that area? That looks like an interesting little sheep path. And I'll end up exploring it and then finally it gets to an area where I can't ride anymore, but I'll put my bike on my shoulder and I'll go and venture over to another area and I'll find a bit of trail. I actually don't really want those kind of routes to be mapped.
Yeah, don't make them too busy.
yeah, don't want to make them too busy, because if there was too many bikes on them and too many people on them, they wouldn't be that experience and that adventure that I want and I want to create with it. I want to kind of encourage people to realise what is responsible and what do you need to do to be able to explore like that. And it's not that hard. You just need to be mindful of the situations you're going to kind of experience and cross over and do. And sometimes you get to a place and you go, actually, this is not sensible for me to be here. And although there's a sort of nagging thing and you put your belly going, I'd like to go over there and do that, this is just going to, I'm just going to be, you know, going through this and the damage it causes isn't, you know, it's not a responsible thing to do. I'm just going to go back and not do this route. But having that adventure and being able to create that adventure is a really strong selling point for Scotland as well. Our access rights are really good for mountain biking. So that ability to create your own adventure and discover new places and new trails.
Yeah.
But being mindful of the environment you're in and being responsible with it is a great thing, actually.
Yeah, oh, I definitely agree. I mean, yeah, those sort of days of just exploring are great fun. I suppose I was just thinking of the ones that surprise me where there actually is a trail created and then somehow nobody ever finds out about them. But yeah, it's good to keep some nice private local trails that you can rely on not seeing too many people when you're out.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so looking forward to seeing that. What do you have any kind of timescales for that being released on the website?
I'm really hoping it's kind of I'm really hoping to use, well, obviously leaving in the Commonwealth Games, trying to get a bounce off that. There is a few things coming up. We're off to Eurobike, so we've got a Scotland stand with Business 7 product development companies. So we've got that coming up at the end of August, which we're working hard to. There's also the referendum, and I'm not sure whether we want to go head to head. We might just go head to head with the referendum and see if our mountain bike guide can get the press, the referendum's going. So we've got a few things like that, and that might delay us back till October time, but we'll see. I'm hoping to get it out within the next month or two.
Great, we'll look out for that then. Okay, well, that is probably a good link on to the business side of things, talking about Eurobike. Can you put in a nutshell what type of stuff you do? You've described that a bit already, but what type of businesses do you work with most often?
I've got kind of two strands to work programme, which we work on. We work with tourism businesses. To date, we've worked with, we've run workshops and done webinars, various other things where we've actually gone out and advised tourism businesses, both from accommodation sectors to bike shops, through to guides and skills instructors, and trying to get them linked up and joined up and realise how we can work together to create a really good destination for mountain biking. Inside that as well is what we've been promoting as a mountain biking tourism in Scotland guide. I was initially going to do it ourselves. We looked at doing it. We realised there was probably a need to pull that information together to give it to people who don't know how to accommodate for mountain bikers and don't know what mountain bikers would look for in a destination. However, Tourism Intelligence Scotland said that they were also looking to do it, and they've got far, far bigger budget than myself and have people dedicated to do it. So rather than doing it ourselves, what I thought, well, let's not waste money in having two guides there as well. Let's not be silly with this. We just worked with them to do it. So we provided them with a lot of the content material, and I went through it and made sure that what they were putting in was the right information to be given out. So we use that guide as our basis for our workshops, and we're doing webinars. And so far, I think our workshops have outreached over to about 300 odd businesses.
Oh, really?
We now know better how to accommodate for mountain bikers who are visiting, or people from within Scotland who are going out with their area to stay in an area. I guess that's the drop back off into riders. What does developing mountain biking do for riders is that we now work with 300 businesses who know a little bit more about how to accommodate you on your holidays and how they can provide a better service for you. The other type of businesses we work with is product development businesses. So we're interested in working with anyone who's got an idea for a new product or service for a mountain biking part. It's largely born out of an idea from within Scottish Enterprise, who one of my colleagues, Moira Forsyth, she looked in. She lives down Dumfries, and she was at a mountain bike trail centre one day, and she was just looking at the equipment coming both on top of cars in the form of bikes, and also people coming out of their cars and getting changed and putting on the gear, and noticing that really nothing or very little was actually getting produced by Scottish businesses. People weren't wearing our stuff, we weren't riding it, and we weren't using things. So how could we kickstart that process? How could we support businesses to do that? There's a few notable exceptions, Endura, etc. But a lot of there's not a lot of equipment and products being developed. So from there, what we did is we had a big initial event where we brought businesses together with academia to see if you've got an idea for that product or service, can university help take you forward from that? And that was a great success. We had about 80 businesses there and about 50 academics. Following on from that, we've been around the country and we've run innovation clinics. So you can just come along if you've got an idea, no matter how silly it seems or how great it seems, you can come along and you can meet with myself. Through this project, we've managed to recruit a new business development executive who's based within Edinburgh Napier, Danny Coe, you can meet representatives from Interface or Scottish Enterprise. What we can then look at is give you an idea of your business, speak to you about your business from a mountain biker point of view, and see, well, what are the next steps for your business? What do you need to do? And what support is out there to help you achieve those next steps? And we get people coming in at all different stages of the progress. We were getting real success of that coming through now, though, from some of our initial innovation clinics. We've now actually got businesses who are now going to be taking their product to Eurobike as part of a stand. So that's part of our system is, well, where's the gaps? One is just that initial point of contact, that initial part of bespoke mountain biking advice and service. It's then about linking it up to other agencies and other support networks to help you take that idea and take it forward and developing it. And then it's, how do we get those ideas out to market? How can we help those opportunities and highlight that, you know, the Enduro World Series, the Event Village there can be a good opportunity. The Footballing World Cup can be a good opportunity. This year we tried something for Scottish businesses in between the two of them. And also we've taken through the support of Scottish Development International, we've got a stand at Eurobike this year. Both from a product side and also from a tourism side. So we've got 7 businesses who will be showing their wares to a kind of international audience. So we've got big hopes because they're really good businesses as well. They're really good products. So we've got really good high hopes that these businesses will find a kind of global platform and will be able to grow and develop their really excellent mountain bike products.
Yeah. That sounds pretty exciting. So what are the examples then? What kind of businesses are you taking out there, if you're allowed to tell us?
We've got 7 businesses, which I'll challenge myself to. From a bikes point of view, we've got Shan Cycles, who are worth a Google. They make absolutely beautiful bikes. They make kind of...
Sorry, Graham, I'm not sure what happened there.
Sorry,
you were mentioning Sharon Cycles.
Shan Cycles, yeah. Definitely worth a Google. They make beautiful bikes. They're kind of specialising towards a kind of adventure off-road bike as well, which fits in with the mountain biking thing. And they are the lovely bikes. It's really worth the paint jobs. They're hand-built in Scotland and beautiful, beautiful looking bikes. We've also got Free Flow Bikes, which is a bike shop within Glasgow. They're going over with an electric bike. We have Scott Euler, who have worked with Edinburgh Napier. They tried a product for the mountain biking market a few years ago. It didn't quite work. They mostly work in motorbikes, actually, and they have a fluid which a kind of oil, which is it an oil? I think they have a product basically which helps go on and keeps grip from building on your chain and in your moving devices on your bike.
Okay.
They tried it a while ago. While they use it in motorbikes, is it goes on constantly onto the chain, keeps the chain constantly free of grip. And they tried that for bikes a while ago, and it didn't quite work. It was a fairly ugly appendage which they had attached to bikes, and that didn't quite really work with the mountain bike market. So they went back and said, we think we've got a product though, we think we've got something here. So they worked with Edinburgh Napier and did some focus groups and did some research into what would mountain bikers like and what would they develop. And they've got what they're calling the ultimate bike solution, and it's a great product. I love it. I'm not really one for maintaining my bike. I've got a busy job and a young family. It's great. You spray it on your bike. You can spray it all over your bike, apart from your disc brakes, everywhere. You go out for your ride, you put it back in, you give your bike a hose, and it shines again.
Really?
It's an absolute dream of a product for for anyone that's not interested in keeping their bike too nice themselves, or wants their bike to really, really work fast as well. They've got a piece of research coming with Edinburgh Napier, which shows, actually quantifies how much better it is to use than other oils and different things. We have Freedom Fox is another one who's came through our innovation clinics. Alex came to an innovation clinic in Peebles at Glentress, and she's got a background in textiles, so she's just now set up as a new clothing supplier for women's cycling wear. So she's got a new brand exclusively looking at women's cycling wear, and it's really different. It's not what you'd normally expect. things. It's really unusual styles and designs and cuts, and it looks really nice, actually. She, big hopes for her. We've also got Collective Tracks, who have been working with Strathclyde University, and they've come up with a prototype bike track, which is really portable, really lightweight, and will be a really great thing for any sort of schools or community groups who are looking at kind of having something that's a portable bike track to take out for doing sessions on and doing things. So they've come up with a kind of new innovative way of sectioning that together to pulling that together so it becomes really portable and lightweight and easy to carry around. We've also got Launch Components, who have a range of mountain bike componentry. We've got Kila, who are a massive European brand who do outdoor clothing and have just recently expanded into a cycle range. It's really quite exciting to have them as part of that. They're actually not that big in Scotland. It's quite unusual. They're really well regarded around the rest of Europe. They're a Scottish company based in Fife, and they're not that well known in Scotland, but the products are really nice. They're some really nice things, really affordable as well. It's going to be interesting. I think they'll go down really well with that kind of international market, and it'd be good to see them continue to grow and expand. I think I've done my way around the stand there. Were you keeping a note of that, Colin?
I wrote down six, but I might have missed one. I might well have missed one.
they'll be shouting.
Don't worry, you can. Well, do you want me to? But I've got Freedom Fox, Shan Cycles, Free Flow Bikes, Collective Tracks, Launch Components, and Kila.
There's one other.
Well, don't worry, it'll come back to him, sure.
Back. It will. Yeah.
But yeah, no, that sounds really good. It's great to hear of more mountain biking stuff coming out of Scotland. Because like you say, you can argue that Scotland's one of the best destinations in the world for mountain biking because of the quality of the tracks, the quantity that we've got here. But it never seems that the products are here. So yeah, it's great to hear that that's kind of starting up.
That's the aim of it. And because we think, you know, we've got everything we need to have that happen in Scotland. We've got great trails. We've got great things to have people get out on their bikes. We've got pretty harsh conditions.
Conditions.
Yeah, it is good test conditions because if it lasts here and it works here, then anywhere around this, else around the world is going to find it pretty. It's going to work anywhere
pretty
else.
Easy, yeah.
So we've got all that. We've also got, you know, we've got really educated people, really clever people in Scotland. We've got people with good entrepreneurial skills as well. So we've got everything set up with the support of universities as well, with agency support, with funding support, to bring all that together. So we actually have everything in place to do it. We just need the people to get there and come up with the ideas and develop the products.
Great. So if somebody does have an idea out there, somebody thinks of the best mountain biking product, they can just come along to one of your innovation clinics? Is that all free to attend? How often are they?
We tend to take a break over the summer and then run them in the autumn and the spring months. We have three coming up. We have one in September in Glentress, one in October in Perth, and one in November in some other location, which is another one that slipped my mind. I always get to the last one and forget. They're all on the website, though. If you go into the website, the dmbns.com, look at the right-hand side. There's a tab that says Businesses. And you go in there and you can see innovation clinics and you just follow the instructions to book on.
Great. I'm sure there's a few out there listening that's got some kind of idea for someone they could make. Are there funding for this type of thing, or is it mainly just advice you're offering?
I don't offer funding at all ourselves. What we can do, though, is we can advise the businesses of where the funding support is. And that goes for community groups that are developing things or anybody who's got an idea for kind of developing mountain biking in their area. There is funding support out there for a lot of different things. You have to have the right organisational structure to apply for some of the funding. You need to have quite a bit of background work done and a bit of thought through. If you're a business, for example, where you'll get funding is you'll get funding on the growth potential of your business. So there'll be funding support out there to grow your business depending on your business plan. So the first thing you'll need to do is go away and work on a business plan that shows that growth and shows how a bit of funding would help you achieve that growth potential for your business. If you're a community group, your aims are slightly different. If you're a community group that's looking to make your area more healthy and bring in some local mountain bike trails, they'll be looking to see how many people is this going to affect. What are the chances that there's the children, young people, adults, is it going to make a difference to their health? Is it going to make a difference to their sporting chances? Do you have a club to support it? Events to support that as well. That's the outcomes that they'll be looking to see in your plan and in your thinking and in your evidence of need. So again, all that advice is what we provide, and we can then also go back to the agency and say, and provide kind of comfort and support if we've worked with a group and say, yeah, that's a good organisation to work with, or that's a good company to work with.
Yeah.
They've got things organised, and that helps that link that up as well.
Yeah. Great. Well, there's a good link. Trails. So what trail? We all want more trails around the country. What are you working on just now? Are there a lot of new plans in motion at the moment?
Yeah, there are. I mean, it's... I've actually slipped a little bit. The summer's been very, very busy, and I haven't actually been keeping up with my audit. But on last count, I think we had about 115 different projects, both from existing mountain bike trails through to ones that were actually being developed at the moment, through to ones that are being proposed. That's a lot. It's a lot. I don't think we'll always achieve that. We do have new ones. We've had new ones open up reasonably recently. There's been a funding stream through Sport Scotland, that Places Fund, that's been really useful for us. We've got new trails in Dundee, Aileth, Comrycroft have got new trails. We've got new trails happening in the Edinburgh area soon. We've got some interesting things happening in Callander Estate. Craigs, I've got new trails in as well. There'll be a few other developments happening, hopefully in the kind of Trossachs area. The Aberfoyle bike park's just been built there. These are just the ones off the top of my head. Yeah. And kind of areas of Scotland, we really do have a good network of things. And what's really interesting to see as well is that what we are getting more of in Scotland is kind of what we hoped and anticipated would happen, is a lot more trails are happening closer to where people live. They're happening in the densities of populations. They're not, because of that as well, they're not spread out, they're not massive, it's not Glen Tress, we're not getting that in areas. That's not what we need though in areas. What we need though is to build that base of mountain biking, take mountain biking into the communities, take those trails away from being something you do in the forest and bring them into the communities. What we're aiming as well to do is that once the people get that initial hook, they get the buzz in their own communities, can they then be going on holiday spots. Nevis Range have just developed new trails, they've got a new green and a blue in this year. People going up and experiencing those trails. Can we get people into the south of Scotland, Seven Stains Network's well equipped for bringing people in on holiday. Comrycroft, another great place for going and spending a few days, weekends and holiday. So we can try and create that network of kind of urban trails for during the week, if you like, and then getting out to our kind of wider trail centres for weekends away. And then people who come from elsewhere can experience both of those worlds as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great model, actually, isn't it? Because a lot of people are put off. I mean, even I've been put off going biking sometimes for the hour drive, and I already know I love it. So, yeah, people that are just getting into it could be put off by that kind of effort.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's worth it.
Of course.
The trails that are out there in the countryside are, I mean, that to me is what mountain biking is about, is getting out, getting into the hills and getting away. However, there is a time where you just want to get out and you just want to have an hour, just want to get a good blast. And as well, when the weather's poor as well, these are another great advantage of these trails is when they're built, and when they're well built and they're built by professionals, is you know that when it's just been absolutely howling down for 3 or 4 weeks in the winter, that you're still going to go to a trail and it's still going to be able to sustain you and your bike and you can go on it without, and you can get that hour or two without turning your local area into a mud bath. So.
Yeah, great. Well, I think we've gone on a good bit now, but so I'll start to tie it up. But one of the last things I wanted to ask you, I'm interested, something I've always been curious about is kind of, I suppose, the longer term sustainability of these trails in terms of costs and everything. Because obviously, like you said earlier, mountain biking is pretty much free once you've got your kit. Can you see the possibility of paper ride trails in the future? Or do you think the mountain biking is going to be funded in different ways?
I don't really like the model of paper ride. I don't really want a paper ride model. I don't think it's a good way to Scotland to go. I think the countryside and our access to it It's something which I really strongly value, and it's something that I think that's a really important part of our Scottish identity, is that we can go out into the countryside and enjoy it. I don't like the idea of a kind of paper ride model. I think there are other models we have to look at and do it. One of the things we brought up at a conference a few 2 years ago was that looking at a kind of rider contribution scheme. I'm still keen on trying to explore that model and see is there a way that if you have money but you don't have time, you can then put money into a pot. And then if you have time but not money, you could then be volunteering your local trails, and that money comes straight down and into that pot. That might be a model we look at and develop. I'm still trying to interested in that model and see if we can get something going with that. I do think that that will be part of the future sustainability of mountain biking. We'll be looking at people being involved in the local trails and developing the local trails. The other side of it as well is that we do, if we want our trails to be free and our access to the countryside to get free and not to be confined into boxes within mountain biking, we're going to have to be able to pay in some ways into the system though as well. The easiest way for that, and the easiest way to do that for landowners, is to provide parking and to be charging for parking. That's not part of access legislation, so something we can do. So it's something we have to accept that if we want to have mountain bike trails, especially purpose-built mountain bike trails, we're going to have to pay our parking and pay our way and pay into that system, and that money will go back in. That does go back into the maintenance of the trails and do things. I also think it helps that we've now got a spread of people who are developing trails. We've got a spread of different organisations. We've got the Forestry Commission with their fantastic sites across Scotland. We've also got local authorities doing it. We've got communities doing it. And we've got a good network, good interesting network of different people. And we bring people together. You know, our conference, which we organise every 2 years, brings everyone together. It gets a chance to discuss different techniques, different ideas, different things that people have been doing to develop it. And that networking is something I strongly believe in that makes things better. It does improve people. It improves people's knowledge. It improves their contacts and helps more things happen and grow and develop.
I think that's the thing. I mean, I've always felt a bit guilty only paying sort of £3 to park at Glen Tress and then go and spend 3-4 hours razzing about and having a great time and all the work that goes into that. But I suppose that's a different model, isn't it? Because that's the Forestry Commission, so that's part of their remit to do that kind of thing. But then you get the private trails and you just wonder how they will sustain. But I think I totally agree with you. I don't think paper ride's the answer, but I was just curious from your point of view whether you thought that might come in at any point. But yeah, good to hear you don't think so.
No, I don't. I mean, I think from a private sector perspective, it is looking at it, and it's, there is a number of businesses who are now taking it on and doing it for different reasons as well, though, which is interesting. So, likes of Callander Estate near Falkirk, they've actually taken it on as part of their access plan to their area, and something to actually keep their other tenants happy as part of their estate. So they've actually looked at it and said, how can we bring in, instead of closing off our area, how can we manage our access better? How can we manage our access better for mountain bikers? So they've taken quite a holistic view on it and realised that as a responsible landowner who wants to be in a state that works with their community, they look to provide that recreational opportunities to do things. So theirs is quite a holistic way. It also keeps their tenants happy as well, who are farming the land, because they've separated out and they've managed it better rather than people, too many people exploring in areas where they don't want them to explore, that we can keep the majority of people onto the specific routes. Other models where you've got likes of Conwy Croft, who are developed the trails in. They've now got a cafe on site, they've got a bike shop on site, they've got their camping on site. They can use it as a promotional tool as well. They can get in places, magazines, things more people are aware of them. These are all really good business models which as far as I are aware, are working for those businesses. So it is something the private sector can get involved with as well.
Yeah, that's great to hear. I actually went to Conwy Croft for the first time last week. Really enjoyed the trail, actually. It's not that long, but it's very repeatable if you wanted to go around a few times.
It is, yeah. No, they've done great work there, actually. And they're really good. They're really nice as well.
Yeah.
Colin Digby and Andrew and everybody who work there, they are really good. And it is a really great place to visit. It's got a really nice vibe to it. There's the kind of hens running about and...
Yeah.
The kind of bike park there that everybody kind of doing things and then up and onto the trails.
Yeah,
no, it's an excellent
I love the fact that it's got the camping on site, so you could go across and I'm planning to try and get across in a few months with my family, take the little guy as well and try and get him up and down a few of the different sections. I don't think I'll get them quite up to the black run, but might try a few of the decent sections.
It's quite a steep hill.
Yeah.
I think the biggest, you know, they put in the bike park, which is good there, and all the other trails they put in are really good. However, the route they put in up the way is actually my favourite bit of trail that they've done it. It used to be a horrible fire roady climb, which was really, really quite steep and draggy. Now they've kind of contoured it into the hill, and it's really nice and fun to ride actually as well. So
yeah. Tell you what, it's certainly one of the most technical trails I've done in a while. Actually, it's very natural, very rooty, very rocky, scree covered. It's great fun trying to pick your way down it.
Yeah. When you get up to the top, it does feel like you're kind of out and not in a trail built environment, and that suits the number of users that they get as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
That suit that kind of thing. If you had that in other places, the trails would maybe, and the land they have as well. They've got really good soils and things to work with there.
Yeah.
It's a good location, actually.
Great. Well, okay, thanks very much, Graham. That's it's been really interesting talking to you. I think we probably better leave it there. It's about 45 minutes now. So do you want to just tell us where people can find you, though? So we've got the two sides of things. You've got obviously the riders just looking for info and getting into biking, plus you've got anyone with an idea for a product for biking, or if they want to get their community into building trails, or what was the other one? Accommodation. So yeah, if you want to turn your house into a B&B, attract some bikers in, how can they get in touch?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing to do is go onto our website and have a good explore around there. There's over 250 pages of information and different things on there. It's quite a vast resource of information and things. So that's, if you Google mountain biking in Scotland, we're pretty close to the top, and it's dmbns.com. DM bins, however we want to say it. It's dmbns.com. Go in there and have a look around the website, explore that, and get as much as possible information that you can get yourself, and then get in touch. There's a contact us button there as well, so you can get in touch anytime, and we can do our best to come back and set you up with a good contact, or at least send you on your way.
Indeed.
With good knowledge of how to take whatever you want to do forward.
Brilliant. Okay, well, thanks again, and cheers to talk to you.
No worries, thanks, Paul.